I will do now something with you, which I have never done before with anyone. But I will do it only to help you. It will be very painful. But do you give me your permission? He said, yes. Then I said, turn around, please. And then I tried to apply my knowledge of mama points. These are very sensitive points. And I gave him a mama massage. Or this is a very polite term. It was very, very painful. And by this pain in the body, the nerves, he got into another mode of thinking. He somehow jumped back, so to say. And he wasn't normal again after this. He had a few blue spots on his back. But he was normal again. I mean, it was necessary to do such, because we would all have been in deep trouble if he would not have started again. We would have to carry him, and it was very difficult to carry someone. And he was very thankful for this mama massage. Hare Krishna. This is sometimes necessary. And Maharaj Chitaketu did this. There are other examples how sadhus preach. This was the most intense example, but look at the example of Yadabharat preaching to Rahuganath. They always, the sadhus, when they come, will always have the thankless task, Prabhupada said, to somehow help persons to come from the illusion, the material illusion existence, to Krishna consciousness. It will be always a little collision. I want to encourage you to welcome this and not to run away from this. As you read Srila Prabhupada's books in the times, in our modern times, and you find some things in the books where you feel personally challenged, where your old understandings, where you really have to say, can I see this like him now? And so on. You must know at this time, you experience the two worlds colliding in you. And you must know that this collision is wanted. It's in other words, it's not really the question, is the moon farther away from the sun? It's important also. Or are women this or that in Prabhupada's formulation? This is not, it's the world views which come. And these things are used, these critical points, are used by Lord Krishna so that it is a collision. And we have to decide to change our world views and accept the light of Krishna consciousness in our life. We have to decide this. This decision has to be done. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur has described something in this idea about the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he said, is expressed in such a way that a faithless person will not be able to continue the Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna. I have seen this with. He was all right until the fifth canto came out. But then, how? Here this, there is this. How to bring the two together? This is not logical. And as he said, Sachinanda, come, read this sentence and read that sentence. Is this logical? I'm sorry, my answer was I have faith, you know, what can I do? And I tried to tell Prabhuji, this is not the point of spiritual life. The point is we are in a prison, we have to leave it. And so on. And what the pure soul says will always be shocking for us. And so, this is a very interesting subject, and I would I've gone into an area which I have not really prepared myself. I wanted to now, it would be interesting now to talk about contradictions in Shastra, in contradiction of statements. I have studied this a little while ago, 1 week ago, and I can only say to you, the recommendation of Shastra is that you try to understand it from a different perspective where it makes sense. Not from your own small perspective, but from a wider perspective. And we have some very philosophical devotees who have done this work for us. For instance, with Sadaputa's help, even an atheist can cross the fifth canto now. and so on. But everything is logical if you just choose a different viewpoint that can be done in by a person who can argue very well. So you must understand also the fact of Krishna. It is not logical in these terms. Why should God play a flute and not an electric guitar, for instance? I mean, or something more natural, a veena, or there are many nice instruments available, cartels. Why a flute? This is not logical. You won't be able to understand it from your view. You have to enter the view of Krishna. Krishna plays a flute because by the sound of the flute, he can attract the gopis. That's the reason. He plays and it can be heard for a long distance and very nice melodies. He can do many things with the flute sometimes. There are bamboo sticks, bamboo trees, and then the wind comes and the gopis hear the sound of Krishna's flute. They are mistaken, but it's only the wind of the bamboo, and then they are excited about Krishna. The flute is in Krishna's lila, very important, but from your coconut perspective, or inside the coconut perspective, there are no logical arguments, really, why God should play a flute. It can be only seen from the perspective of God, from the spiritual perspective. So, when we are trained by Srila Prabhupada and listen from Srila Prabhupada and really all his all the present devotees who are serving as gurus consider themselves servants and of Srila Prabhupada, when we hear from them, don't become shocked when you are shocked. It is good. It is necessary. Two worldviews come together, your previous worldview and the other. And you have to go into this birth of Varanadasha, the stage of accepting in your life the teachings of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada himself considered his way of teaching very transparent, very clear from where he had his teachings. He had them directly from Krishna. Sometimes Prabhupada was attacked when he was counter-attacked when he said, those who do not accept Krishna are rascals. Do you know this statement? How can you say this, Swamiji? Prabhupada would say, just very, very convinced and very, you know, this was not just a tactical answer. I'm not saying this. It's Krishna. And then he quoted the verse. Maya paritagyana. All these people, those whose knowledge has been stolen away by Maya, they are rascals, Krishna says. And this is us, Hare Krishna. We are also in this world. Don't think you're just for just practicing a few small years that you are out of this world now. No, there are very realistic material influences in our lives. Krishna. It's Krishna's light what the pure devotee brings, not his own light. Just like in our analogy, he brings part of the sun, the small sun, the fire, small fire. Once Graf Durkheim, Baron Durkheim, very, very nice, I read just 10 days ago, something he writes about spiritual master. He has a very interesting perspective. Maybe I will read it to you, because Prabhupada talked to this man, and I think he must have written it after Prabhupada meeting Srila Prabhupada. But actually, I would like to read it to you. It's so mind-blowing what he writes. So Graf Durkheim, he was very sympathetic to Prabhupada, like anyone who was a little sensitive and met Prabhupada. He was so convinced by his genuineness, seine Echtheit. So Graf Durkheim had in Schwarzwald, south of Germany, near Totemos, a self-realization ashram where he has conducted seminars and so on. And he wanted to know what Prabhupada's training method was for his disciple, because he was also trying to train people in some ways. And he said, how do you make your disciples understand that they are not the body? What do you do? Prabhupada looked at him and said, I'm telling them what Krishna told them. That's all. You know, Prabhupada, that's so nice. He always points back to the source. First his own spiritual master, and then Lord Krishna. And so on. This is why when you go Srila Prabhupada's way, you can be certain that you will be successful in your spiritual practice and spiritual life. So I want to end this lecture and ask again to make the maybe we should, when we are rich, have some, now we are extremely poor, but some oxygen which always put it in there. Hare Krishna. Or we should distribute some Traubenzucker before some fruit sugar before you go to the lecture, so that you are totally dynamic in listening. Roger, kannst du das wieder aufmachen? Mir schlägt die Zuhörerschaft weg. So, when you are meeting this effect, don't shy back. And don't do what so many unfortunate people have done, to somehow relativate Srila Prabhupada's teaching. Because this effect of looking into the light, and you know, so shocking, is hurting them in some ways. Don't do this. Then you won't get the pure light any longer. You won't. The whole thing loses its thing. Know that crashing the eyes is good, it is necessary. Therefore, it is always said, spiritual life is something for those who are healthy in body and mind. If you are not so healthy in the mind, you must do something against it, because this is a very anspruchsvolle process, a very anspruchsvoll, demanding. It can be demanding. You need to have your... You need to be strong. You need to be in a position of spiritual strength, really, to go on this path. But the reward is so wonderful. Please listen again to the sentence and become happy. One should understand that no one is independent. For everything, not just everyone, but everything, whatever happens, everything is part and parcel of Krishna and is acting and moving by the supreme desire of Krishna. This understanding, this consciousness is Krishna consciousness. I think if you write this down on a piece of paper, from time to time look at it, when things are difficult, you will get some relief and some happiness. So today, where you all will celebrate, not all of you, but some of you will be with us, most of you most probably, celebrate, because it's so cold outside, you will celebrate this insignificant soul's birthday. I want to thank you very, very much. Please always know I'm trying my level best to follow Srila Prabhupada. I try. Please always see me as a servant of Srila Prabhupada. Someone who really wants to do this, is really very, very strong although there are many imperfections which I can still see. So please always see me in this light, then you will be able to understand why I'm like this. Of course, there's also individuality there, and that does not stop, but that is very much there. And therefore, on such a day, I just feel very, very, very happy to talk about Srila Prabhupada in such ways. This was a philosophical way of Srila Prabhupada talking. I was talking about what I have also experienced in my life. It's not that this is something theoretical and so on. I know what happens when the world views crash and when the spiritual master takes out his stick. And I like it very, very much because it feels so healthy. It feels so, yeah, then it starts the spiritual life. I also want to thank all of you for this nice Navyakya. I could see the devotees who were singing, both the singers and the chorus, all of us in other words. There was a genuine attempt to just glorify Lord Krishna and to swim in the ocean of the kirtan. This is very, very powerful, very nice, and hopefully we have some more such chanting today. All right, so do you wish to ask any questions on this subject matter? Trying to see if I can. I want to also say our Vishnumurti, please look at that. This is Vishnumurti, in case you don't know, the tireless distributor of Srila Prabhupada's literature. He is again with us, ready to take standing orders on all Prabhupada's books, and has also many literature which can stimulate the mind to understand different subjects.
The table will be in the prasad room.
Good. I will see. I feel almost an invisible competition if you have something which I don't have, then I will return you. Do you have any questions, Marita?
I wonder if it's the destined to a conditioned soul to always be forced to sin.
If it is the destiny of the conditioned soul to always be forced to sin. Well, conditioned soul means he is very strongly conditioned and he always has to do it like this. I want to give you an example where you can laugh about and see the principle. I want to give you an example of Sri Ant, the ant. And in Yugoslavian has a very nice sound vibration, mrav, I think. Is it mrav or Sri mrav? So when the ant, who is conditioned by his senses and so on, come into a jeweled palace, he will only see holes. He cannot perceive anything else than holes, and he will, holes, holes. So when a conditioned soul understands the philosophy of Prabhupada, he will try to see just by his nature where are the holes. This is a principle which also goes to other things. A conditioned soul can only stop to sin by spiritual strength. That's the only possibility. But if he she doesn't have that spiritual strength at the disposal, then it is not possible, most probably, to overcome the old habits, the habitual anattas, I want to say.
You spoke about Varahari, and I heard that there are two kinds of Varahari. One is white and one is red. Can you say something?
Madhavananda requests me to say something about the two times, the two forms of Varahadeva. I must say, I only know that one is reddish and the other whitish, and that they appeared in different leelas, in different yugas, and had slightly different leelas. And it is there in one purport where Prabhupada says, Jiva Goswami says this, and Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says this. In other words, a seeming contradiction is resolved. You can find it out by one of our computer wallets. They can go to Varaha and then everything comes to Varaha. Hare Krishna. Other questions? Mark?
How far do we go in the faith to spiritual master? If that and spiritual master says a rope is a snake, then it is a snake and not a rope. But can we also see some human traits in the spiritual master, or shall we always see this absolute
perspective? Mark asked a very interesting question. I may not have heard your first sentence acoustically. How far do we go in accepting a spiritual master? That's what he said. He said sometimes we hear the spiritual master will say the rope is a snake and so on. I have heard this story very often in the beginning of Krishna consciousness, but I have never read it in Srila Prabhupada's words. I personally do not believe that a pure devotee would, or let me say, a spiritual teacher would do this, except in very, very rare cases. I have not seen this technique of Srila Prabhupada, that he said something which obviously was different. I think he would not try to put us on such a situation. This is my personal feeling, but your question goes much further than just this one example. Your question goes more into, can we see the human traits, or do we always have to see him as the spiritual master, as a representative of the Lord? Well, it depends really on the level of your discipleship. When at the beginning of your discipleship, or when you are still not so spiritually advanced and so strong in Krishna consciousness, when you see the spiritual master too informal, that is too human, it might a little disrespectful attitude might develop. But it is said that in this, as a disciple grows up in spiritual life, the aspects of Vishramba, seeing him as a friend, becomes bigger and bigger, because he will not see him in a respectless way. The point here is respect. We must, in order to learn from someone, even any teacher, we must respect him. I remember when I couldn't respect my German teacher any longer. At that moment, my learning stopped. You know, I would put chewing gums on the door, and when he would try to enter the class, he would be all with chewing gums, and I was laughing. And I was, when he was talking, I was already planning the next attack. He was very bad, you know, he was a match. He really liked to torture children, and I didn't like to be tortured at the stage, and he was bad. I was around. It was a comedy. Yes. Now you know, bad qualities. So, then I couldn't learn anything. Herr von Thais was his name, I still remember his name. He stopped. So when we I think we should see our, we can see our spiritual, we can see spirit as spiritual master on the human level, but be very careful with this respect thing. Now, as far as my situation is concerned, as a small person, not a big person like Srila Prabhupada, I think it is necessary to see both things, the function, that means the function, and the person. It's like, you know, I want to give an example which I just thought of. Maybe it's not so super good, but this, in Germany we have the criminal police. These are people who really are called when there are heavy, heavy crimes, and who protect the normal citizens from these mass murders and these just very sick people. So we have such people, and you know, when they, in order to work, they will show you their mark, and then you know, okay, I can't now deal with this person on the level, would you like something to eat, or here's a flower, but you have to be very serious now and help them. They want maybe an advice, did you see some suspicious fellow, you know, jumping out of the window and killing someone. I do not know a good example now. So we have to, he shows his mark and says, I now, please understand, we are now on the criminal police level. It's now very serious work. I need your cooperation. Please help. We have to do something very serious and so on. And he may be this criminal person, this criminal policeman, maybe a totally ordinary person who, when he's with his friends, he doesn't get out his mark, you know, or and so on, stipulate that I must now exercise some authority. Then this, in a person like, I think you would like to have a personal answer, a person like me, I think you should see me, this example is not so nice, you know, it's, who likes to think of criminal police in terms of spiritual master? This is two have two different vibrations, you know. But I want to give you the example that there is a function for which someone is authorized, and we must be very careful with this function. That this function, I mean, we need this function in our life. But there is also Sachinandan Swami, a person from Hamburg, who sometimes opens his mouth too much, and you know, and who likes to dance and live a simple life, and like this. I think one needs to understand the two aspects. It's very in this world we know how a person can be two. He exercises and functions with some amount of authority, and he's also a human being. I will think of a better example, but I think you, at least the example is just a big early morning example. It is not the best example, thought out example, but I think you understand. So therefore, so that we never get in trouble with the function, that is that he is a light bearer who is trained by his spiritual master, who is representing an ancient tradition, and that we don't cut out, we have to be very careful with the human being. In India, I've heard something, oh, I wanted to say this. Indians have practiced for many, many centuries with the concept of spiritual master, guru. This is there in the tradition. And Indians know, this is what Buridhan Prabhu told me, they will never come too close to the spiritual master, being afraid that they might burn themselves in the human side. They might something near. They're very respectful. I had to learn this when I met Shashikar. The Western disciples are used to be very out and let us have a personal relationship, drink and a glass of juice and so on together and so on, almost But this ancient tradition of Kalsha knows that this is troubles can happen in this area, and they don't demand what a Western disciple sometimes wishes, to be extremely close, to know all the thoughts, absolutely all the thoughts, and so on, and so on. This is this desire can sometimes be bring us into what Prabhupada said: familiarity breeds contempt. So my advice is for anyone. And I want to tell you, I'm very, very convinced of this light bearing, this torch, so to say, torch function, and I have seen it. It works wonderful for those who take the light into their lives, and so on. But please never think that I'm Hare Krishna. There are some things which come to mind. Sometimes I used to make a sign like this, and then someone thought it was a divine revelation or something. In other words, interpreting obvious human traits. Also, offensichtlich menschliche Gesichtszüge als göttlich interpretiert. Das ist komisch einfach. So please see both things, but be careful with the human side, because you want to relate as someone who learns, then you have to be in a respectful mood. I will go in a few weeks to Shyamananda and try to learn harmonium. I will give it one try. If it works, I will continue. If it doesn't work, it's all right. And so on. And I know I will be very respectful. I will say, just tell me everything, how to move the hands, and how to connect the inner music with the outer music. That's really the art. And I will be his pupil. I won't use the word disciple, but pupil. Necessary, otherwise you can't learn. So that respect I must even you must keep to anyone whom you want to teach, whom you want to learn from. Otherwise it does not work. So therefore, yeah. I personally think we should now end our discussion. It is 20 minutes to 10. Is Gaurabhavani somewhere? here, and Shamananda makes the announcement. Is he here? Yes, Shamananda. Oh, I hope I did not inconvenience you. Please come here. So please all take your seats. This is it, Shamananda. To meet the master. Expected. I again feel like being in Vrindavan because just in December last year we were actually staying at Vrindavan on the left of Giri. We are doing the same here and now, so it's very nice. Thank you very much. When Vishwadev saw me entering into the temple room, he made a comment. He said, "It's just like in the old days." And that I said, "Well, externally, I hope internally something has changed." We all come together now to celebrate the birthday of one devotee of Krishna, who for some of you is your spiritual master, your link to the ancient sampradaya or disciplic succession, which is very, very old and very, very deep. So you are seeing me in a very high way. Although I see myself at these moments as the person I live with every day and the person I try to educate to become more Krishna conscious, you see me as a representative of an ancient tradition. I live with the day-to-day Sachinandan Swami and you live with the a link to the Sampradaya, the Verbindungsglied to the alten Schüler Nachfolge. We have two different visions here. My vision and your vision. You are celebrating your birthday from your vision, and I'm experiencing it from my vision, as it is natural for human beings. Still, although I know the faults of the Sachinandan Swami with whom I live from day to day and whom I observe very carefully and I hope critically, still I'm very enthusiastic for such a celebration. And I feel this requires an explanation. Why, if he knows he is imperfect, is he allowing himself to be worshipped as something very special? This is a contradiction. How does this some of you might feel, how does he live with this contradiction? And some of my guests might say, Sachinandan Swami, get down from the throne. We know you as our friends. Don't pretend, please. The Western mind has great difficulties to understand how a person who may not be 100% perfect can carry something which is perfect. That's very difficult to understand, although there are examples how this is possible in our day-to-day experience. When it comes to coming in contact with a spiritual movement, we experience very great difficulties, and even those who have become disciples are now, of course, trying to enter into the mood of worship of the spiritual master, but this is not their always throughout the year. This is natural. Let me give you an example and then explain it a little bit, how it is possible that someone who is not perfect can carry the perfect. This example has been given by Srila Prabhupada on the same subject matter. He has said that sometimes an electrical wire can carry the electricity. The electrical wire is only a piece of metal. It's not fiery electricity, but he can carry the electricity. He can conduct it. So in the same way, a person can carry the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the instructions, the perfect instructions, even though he is aspiring to live up to that highest ideal. In fact, that aspiration, I want to be a servant of Krishna, makes him praiseworthy already in this world, and he can carry the devotional service to others. He may not be perfect, but by his aspiration to attain the perfect, and by his being connected with the perfect, he can give us also perfection. That a human being carries the instructions of the Personality of Godhead is a subject matter which, believe me, is very wonderful for me also. In my, I'm also a disciple of a spiritual master, and my experience with my spiritual master is that there are always two ways of seeing him. If I decide to live a very spiritual life, I see him in a spiritual way, and if I decide to live a material life, I see him in a material way. This is so because of the human psychology. The way you are, this is how you see the world. If you are an ant and you go into a palace of jewels, you will see only holes, because an ant sees only holes. He cannot recognize jewels as of yet. But if you are a person who likes jewels, you will see in the same palace nice jewels. It depends how you go into the world, what is your perception, what is your decision, your driti, as we say in Sanskrit. Driti means the determination to lead your life. And then you will see the reality accordingly. So how a human being can carry something so high is a very difficult point, and it's difficult points usually have to be explained by God himself. So Lord, I want to read today to you a few statements of Lord Krishna about Guru Tattva. It's in a lovely little setting, this the statement of Lord Krishna. The setting is that he receives his old school friend Sudama Vipra in his palace in Dwaraka. Lord Krishna knew Sudama Vipra from the times when they were together in the Gurukul, that is the school of the spiritual master, learning spiritual subjects. And he is so happy that after he has gone to Dwaraka, and he's now a king in Dwaraka, that he sees his old school friend Sudama Vipra. They sit together, and as it is natural, they talk about their school days. I think this is natural, isn't it? When you meet an old classmate of yours, you will think, do you remember this teacher and what he did? And you talk about the school days. So imagine the scene. There's Lord Krishna, the Lord of Dwaraka, who has expanded himself into 16,108 forms to be together with his dear queens, and he receives an old school friend. He says, come sit with me. He's so enthusiastic, he invites Sudama Vipra to sit with him on the same bed as you do when you meet friends. You are very informal. Come sit with me. This is your bed. No, 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 no. We are friends. Sit here. begins to remember the school days. He says, do you remember once when we went into the forest? Oh yes, I remember, says Sudama. The storm, isn't it? When the storm came. Yes. We went into the forest, to bring firewood for the Yagya stall of our spiritual master, the place where he would perform his sacrifices. And a storm broke loose. Oh yes, I remember. And soon the whole forest was full of water. There were a few islands left. And on one of these islands we were spending the night. And Krishna looks to Sudama. Did you lose your bundle of firewood? No, I kept it for Guruji, says Sudama. I also didn't lose my firewood, says Krishna. Very lovely. Then Lord Krishna reminds Sudama how their spiritual master Sandipani Muni waited the whole night for the two boys to return. Then early in the morning he came with his entourage, means his other disciples, to pick up Lord Krishna and Sudama. and at that time he was very satisfied. He said, my dear boys, anyone who sacrifices his physical comfort for the service of the spiritual master, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is very, very glorious. He said, what is discipleship? Discipleship means to sacrifice sometimes our own world views and our comfort to do service, to offer service. And Krishna is really remembering the incident, how the spiritual master was satisfied with them. And then he begins to talk to Sudama in the present form. He talks about what it means for him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead if someone satisfies his spiritual master. And I want to talk about this to you from the original text of the Brahmana. The Bhagavatam. My dear friend, he who gives a person his physical birth is his first spiritual master. That's the father. Agastya Muni and Nrisinghananda here in our project are spiritual masters in that sense to their children. And then we have other such spiritual masters here, parents. And he who initiates him as a twice-born brahmana and engages him in religious duties is indeed more directly a spiritual master. That's the initiating spiritual master. But the person who bestows transcendental knowledge upon the members of all the spiritual orders of society is one's ultimate spiritual master. Indeed, he is as good as my own self. He who delivers the spiritual knowledge, he is the ultimate spiritual master. And then he says, I, Krishna, and now Krishna speaks, the soul of all beings, am not as satisfied by ritual worship, brahminical initiation, penances or self-discipline, as I am by faithful service rendered to one spiritual master. Krishna says, I'm not so satisfied if you do ritual worship or have a brahminical initiation, if you do penance or self-discipline, but I'm very satisfied if someone satisfies me through my spiritual master, through the spiritual master. This is what I very much like. If you wish to read this text on your own, it's in the 10th canto, chapter 80, verse 34. So Lord Krishna, in other words, has made it such that there are what he considers his representatives in this world. And if we approach the representative, then we approach him directly. This is, and he, Lord Krishna wishes to be approached through his representatives. It's certainly so that Krishna also hears the prayers of someone who goes directly to him and who does not have a spiritual master, or who does not even intend to have a spiritual master, or who has a somewhat distant relationship to his spiritual master. Krishna will hear the prayers. But see, we are a personal religion. We believe very much in persons, and it is a fact that Lord Krishna very much wishes to train us in devotional service so that we can approach him by going through another person. Krishna says in the Gita and in the Adi Purana, he who says he is directly my devotee is not my devotee, but he who says he is a devotee of my devotee, oh, he's my devotee. And so therefore, we are thinking very deeply on a relationship, a working, vital relationship with our spiritual master on this day. I want to encourage you. Very often, the disciple projects a wrong picture into the relationship with his spiritual master. The projection which he has is, when I'm very good in my spiritual practices, then I'm very dear to my spiritual master. And when I'm not so super, then the relationship is disturbed. This is the projection of the disciple. It's not the vision of the spiritual master. But very often we live as conditioned souls in our projections and not in the spiritual reality. Therefore, we have troubles with the spiritual master when we have troubles in our spiritual life. But we should turn to him, even or especially in times of trouble, to get help, understanding, and encouragement. It's very important. I wanted to make another point now. This is a very nice point. You will like it very much. But I showed the wrong. Made a mistake. I took the wrong book. But I know what I want to say, of course, even without reading from the book. There's something mystical which I invite you to experience. If you follow the order of a spiritual master or the instruction of a spiritual master, that instruction carries in itself a very special potency. If you just, you need to learn this little point that I'm seeing the world like this, and I would like to do this and not this, and so on. But here I have received some instruction from a spiritual master, or here I've read it, it's something very pure and sacred. Now let me try to do it. In the moment you feel this determination coming up in your heart, let me try to do it, already land is in sight, land is in sight. Already, when you find this determination in your heart, you will connect to a higher spiritual reality, which on your own you have not seen. So there is this potency in following instructions of a spiritual master. We should embrace this potency. We should not try to avoid it. Oh, hopefully he will not give an instruction. Hopefully when I meet him, he will just nod his head and say, Hari Bol, so nice to see you. And hopefully we leave it on that level. go to him. Maybe he will give an instruction. No, you shouldn't aspire for that. Because it will lead you out of your own prison. Do you know that the conditioned soul is at the same time a prisoner and the prison ward? Prison ward, also ich sage in Deutsch. Wusstet ihr schon, dass die bedingte Seele zur gleichen Zeit der Gefängnisinsasse ist, aber auch der, der den Schlüssel hat? We always have a free desire and a free choice to surrender. And at the moment when we use this ability to surrender to spiritual instructions, we will be carried out of the material world. The moment we use this ability to surrender to the mind and the mental instructions, we will stay in the material world. So, in this sense, you are a prisoner and the one who has the key. Because you have your independence, your free will to either surrender to instructions from a spiritual source or to surrender to instructions from a material source. Mind. Hare Krishna, this is what I wanted to say today on the philosophical side. I have also a light side, which is not so strenuous. I must tell you that I'm very nervous to sit here and very happy. Nervous because I know you will just express your kindness to me in so many wonderful ways and so affectionate ways. I know that also there are some of the devotees there who had to think a few times, will I come or will I not come? Thank you that you made the decision to come. I just wish you all that this is a very nice experience for you. I wish that you become part in my joy in Krishna consciousness to receive so much affection. I wish that you will also get the same affection and so on. And 2 years ago my father was here, my physical father. At the birthday celebration. Was it 2 years ago or 3 years? I am two, thank you. And Hare Krishna, my father was very moved because finally we had made total peace between us. It was a private thing, not total. I wanted to say we had made peace before, many years before, but now when he was invited to my birthday, you know, he's a curious man, I want to be at this birthday. And when he was there, he thought, now I'm fully accepted. And I told him, you were accepted long before, this is not. So not as a disciple, but as a father. I remember how he commented this for many months after this ceremony. He said, I admire your life so much. I said, why? It's very, you wanted me to become a millionaire and I have nothing. What I have, I give to projects. Why do you admire me? You're a man who is interested in money. No. A little bit I am, but follow my point. We only want money. We only want a position. We only want something where we are looked upon by others, because we want to be loved by others. We want to have affection. That is what we normal people want. Money is not the point, cars are not the point, positions are not the point. We want affections. We think by getting money and positions we get affection, but we really only want affection. And I see, although by material standards you are not a millionaire, you are a millionaire in other standards. You get so much affection. I admire you. You have made it. You are successful in your life. He said like this. So I very much feel this, that you are very kind to me. And you give so much affection to me, which I certainly feel I don't deserve. And this is very nice. Thank you very much. Thank you for giving affection and trying to give affection. It is very nice of you. So now I don't want to stop your festival. It is, in my eyes, it's your festival. I know in your eyes it is my festival. But as I said in the beginning of the lecture, we have two different perceptions of this event. Thank you very, very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gaur Nithai ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Harya.
Take your bombing too.
Take your bombing too.